formation. Small's the fullback. Walker's the tailback. He gets the call. Touchdown, Arkansas. Cody Walker with his second touchdown of the night, and the Hogs have hit half a hundred.
Half a hundred. I nailed it. I had them with 51 on the blog this week, Doug.
I went back into it, and I can verify this for the listeners. He did actually have 51 on the nose.
Yep. Had a few more for the opponent. We're honored this hour to have Brent Norsworthy of WHBQ in Memphis, a man who knows SEC better than anybody I know. Now, Brent, Barry White and college football highlights, does it get any better on radio than that?
It all goes together, doesn't it?
It does.
It all goes together. Seamless transition right into football talk.
I just, good old Southern boy, I just love Labor Day weekend. It's the start of football. It's the start of hunting season. I figure there was a little shot in the air over in Widener yesterday with the start of dove season also.
I guarantee you there was a lot of shots, probably more shots of whiskey at a lot of the dove hunts than actual birds falling.
I know about those Delta dove hunts.
Man, some of the worst hangovers I ever had was after a good dove hunt.
I felt
like I'd been shot a couple times.
I was telling Doug earlier I had to make one concession this year to old age. Usually I try to combine all of this, but as you know, I do a high school football scoreboard show on Friday nights, and I'd get home.
Well, I do know it.
Yeah, we're on live till midnight, and I don't get home till about 12:30. Don't go to bed till about 1.
If I had
driven to Monroe for my annual dove hunt, that meant I would have gotten up about 4 after 3 hours of sleep, hunted, driven back here, and then left for Monticello, and I decided it was just too much.
Yeah.
And I told my friend Wiley Meacham of the Piney Creek Duck Club in Monroe, I can't pull it off. I just have to have some sleep. What I promise, though, I'll be headed your way, Brett, to have the wild game dinner that's almost every Sunday night by invitation only. Now, you can't go over there and just walk in at Gene's Restaurant in Brinkley. So I will be eating supper in Brinkley tonight.
And Blake's been to that with you.
Oh, he has. And you got to meet me over there one of these Sundays.
Here's my getting old moment. Never mind what I was thinking in the Grove about getting old a lot of times yesterday. But mine was I almost never stay both nights in Oxford. Usually just one or the other according to kick time. If it's early Saturday morning, I'll stay Friday, blah, blah, blah. But this time I did. I said, I think I need them both.
Yeah.
I literally all but crawled back to the room because it was a full day. We had a full sponsor day yesterday morning in the Grove, and then I did the local show and then the network show and then the game and the post game and the much discussed and much discussed last few series. But it was, for me, Rex, more dispiriting than a year ago against Jacksonville State.
Really?
Because a year ago, that was just so fluky. That was just kind of a once-in-a-lifetime and didn't play that well. Yesterday we played good and probably should have, could have, would have, but didn't. I mean, it goes in the right-hand column. And it's probably the beautiful thing about sport I like. After all this summer of debate, after all the picks and wins and losses and this one will be good and that one will be good, we play.
Mm-hmm.
The scoreboard does not lie. And
that's right.
Victor, go the Spoils.
Well, let me ask you before we move on to other games. Rebels pitching a shutout after three quarters. Is their defense that much better this year?
It is that much better. And Keith Burns is a big, 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 big part of it. Keith Burns basically is co-defensive coordinator. He may not have it in the title, but he was down doing most of the signals. He's on the sideline. Last year, the defensive back coach, Kim Dameron, a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. now at Cornell with Ken Austin, he was up in the box. But Houston Nutt wants Keith Burns down on the sideline, and he was side-by-side with Tyrone Nix. It's a co. I mean, I don't know if it's a true 50-50. Tyrone's probably got a bigger voice than that, a bigger vote than that. But Keith Burns was down there. They've got better players. The freshman and sophomore classes at Ole Miss are pretty good, but Ole Miss will face a lot better defensive fronts than Brigham Young's and really couldn't move them at all. I don't know, though, Rex. I don't know that we'll face many offensive fronts much better than that. Arkansas's will be, Bama's will be, and LSU's will be. But after one game, I mean, after a really small sample size yesterday, aren't we already all collectively looking a little bit different?
Mm-hmm.
And after Thursday night, a little bit different at Kentucky, a little bit different at Georgia, a little bit different than Auburn, and a little bit different than I think probably the same on Vandy. But not real good. They didn't. They weren't that special yesterday.
Oh no. All right. Let's get to the big game of the weekend. Would you say, on the first weekend of college football that LSU had the most impressive performance?
They did, and I think it was Jarrett Lee, and I was really happy for him because I was at Saban Bowl 2 in 08 when Jarrett Lee had to go out there as a freshman, and he kept throwing it to the guys in red jerseys all day. And a friend of mine has a son that kicks, that kicked at LSU, Josh Jasper. And she was in, sitting with the other parents and said the berating, the criticism that Jarrett Lee's parents had to withstand in the stands, you know, just brutal. You know, LSU, nobody responds better to controversy than that bunch because he's just baked in the cake down there.
Oh, it is. It
they
is.
Love
I,
it,
I,
you know?
Brent, so, I made the point earlier in the show that I have, as you know, as much fun with Les Miles as anybody, and we can't let the hour end without mentioning that Les led the team storming onto the field last night and then went to the wrong sideline after running onto the field.
Didn't you know he'd do it?
But let's
and
get...
You know, Jerry Stone's big, but one team's on one sideline, one's on another. It's a 50-50 shot.
And he missed it.
And he missed, yeah. But let's get down to the stat. Les Miles is 29-1 against non-SEC competition at LSU.
80% overall in the national championship.
Wow.
The same number of national championships at LSU than St. Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
And one more than Charlie Mack.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My good friend Charlie Mack from Louisville, Arkansas.
You better believe it. Had one of the great malaprops of all time. I mean, it was almost Yogi-esque, and he's at a press conference. He was wanting to say pinnacle, and he looked over at somebody as serious as he could be, and he said, "This is the pinnacle of my career."
I loved him. And, you know, you and I constantly talk about, you know, in Arkansas, it's 2 or 1 degree of separation rather than 6. Charlie McClendon, he had a brother named Bill McClendon who was a big quail hunting buddy with my dad. They were big bird hunting buddies. And I'm going to let you get your Coach Bryant mentioned in now to make Blake Cadens happy. 1980, Ouachita was not starting until a week later like this year. So I didn't have to do a ball game on Saturday. Bill McClendon called his brother, got a friend of mine and I tickets on the 50-yard line. ABC had moved the Alabama-LSU game to this weekend, Labor Day weekend, as their opener, and I was in Tiger Stadium when Coach Bryant brought the Tide in and beat LSU in Tiger Stadium on the national ABC game on Saturday night, Labor Day weekend of 1980.
That's a good one, Rex. Sure did, because the year before in the national championship season of 79 for Alabama, and Doug Layton, then the analyst on Alabama games, got in big trouble, but Alan Risher kicked the winning field goal in a monsoon down at Baton Rouge for Alabama to win 3-0. And Doug later said that Alan McElroy was the last straight kicker at Alabama.
Yeah.
Come on, Doug. Can't say that anymore.
Somewhere in my collection, and you probably do too, Stats, you've got so much. Somewhere in my collection, I purchased it, an old cassette tape of highlights. John Forney was the play-by-play man of Alabama of that 1979 season, but I purchased a highlight tape from that season.
Oh, and Doug had some malaprops. I mean, even one of the malaprops I can't get to on FCC-regulated airways. I mean, even setting it up as I'm just telling a story would get all of us in trouble.
I understand.
You would not go Labor Day morning without hearing from the management, Rex.
All right, we don't want to do that.
No, we're not going there. But speaking of hunting, and Blake Edens will love this, one of Coach Bryant's favorite hunting buddies, Patrick Fane Dye.
There you go. Who will also be coming. He will be the first. Our crowd has so loved him, Brett, that he will this year be the first 3-time speaker in the history of the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
What a lineup. Rex, what y'all have done with that club. I mean, you would think you guys have had a club for 75 years.
Yeah, and only 7 years. We started with Bobby Petrino on Monday, Brett, and as you know, had 750 people. We got Coach Stallings coming in on Tuesday, and then a week from tomorrow, Bobby Bowden. How's that for a start to the season?
That is just a lineup. I don't know that any other club can touch in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Chicago Touchdown Club can touch that one.
Yeah. And
that is remarkable what you guys have done. You know, the other day, Houston Nutt and I were talking about the the things done, and you guys in the Little Rock community that really, you know, grabbed the bull by the proverbials and gotten things accomplished. And we were talking about David Bazelon. I know Bill does and many do, but you look at now the idea of the boot. The boot has taken, and Houston was saying, he said, you know, somewhere along the line, the old oaken bucket was new.
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody had to start
somewhere,
it.
And
somebody.
Now, I guarantee you, when that game, when the LSU-Arkansas game, when it strikes all zeros and the horn blows, the winning team, what are they doing? Sprinting to the boot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The one thing I have not been able to pull off in Arkansas, Brett, is – you know, I work for these private colleges now. The only two private colleges with four-year football programs, Ouachita and Harding, they've been rivals for many years. Church of Christ against the Baptist. I think the winner of that game every year ought to get the old wooden collection plate. What do you think?
I think that's perfect. I like where you're
you
going.
You like it?
Well,
A wooden collection plate, and you put a brass plaque in it and carve the scores in the bottom of the collection plate.
And Rex, if OBU wins it, pass it around twice.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we'll call everybody right down front to put money in at the end of the game.
And have about eight verses of Just As I Am, fill that thing up a couple times.
All right. Brett, if you can hang on, we got to go to another break. This is our last break, and then we'll run through the rest of the SEC when we come back.
You got it.
We got Brett Stats Norsworthy, one of my favorite people. You won't get any better SEC football talk than this. Bill Vickery out this morning. Bill, thanks for checking in from Fayetteville. He'll be back next Sunday. I'm Rex Nelson. Stay with us. More coming your way.